Good morning. It is good to see all of you. This morning, we are wrapping up our series about marriage and family. If you have missed one or more of these messages, they are online at MuhammadChristian.org. Now, it's not MuhammadChristianChurch.org, it's MuhammadChristian.org. For the last 2 weeks, we have stepped into the ring for the ultimate fight for a healthy and great marriage. We're closing this series by taking some pointers from a book by Willard Harvey called His Needs, Her Needs. It's a phenomenal book, sold over 3 million copies. If you have not read it, we do have it in the church library, and you can check it out there. Last week was Mother's Day, and we spoke about her needs. Turnabout is fair play, so this week we're going to look at his needs. When you think about it, it's really quite simple. We are male and female, similar but different. And we don't think about it or talk about it really, but even inanimate objects have a gender connotation. We talk about the church as being she, the bride of Christ. So what are some other things that give us some hints at what gender it is? Well, I brought some things this morning, and you helped me determine what their gender is. A hammer. Male, of course. Obvious, isn't it? Hadn't changed a whole lot in 5,000 years. It's not real exciting, but it's nice to have around. Male. Now, what else we got? Here's a remote control. Now, before you answer this one, it's a little bit tricky. Male or female, what'd you say? Yeah. Well, you're tempted to say male, but actually, it's female. Because most men can't figure it out. And it can change with the push of a button. Alright, Ziploc bags. Actually, they're male because they hold everything inside and you can see right through them. Okay, here's a simple one. Sponges. Yeah, female because they're soft, squeezable, and they retain water. This one's easy. A tire. Male. Because it's going bald and it's often overinflated. Oh. That's bad, isn't it? This one's a little trickier. A copy machine. You can make a case for just about anything there, but actually copiers are female. Once they're turned off, it takes a long time for them to warm back up again. And they're really good at reproduction if you know the right buttons to push. men and women are similar, but different. I'm no expert on marriage. I begin every marriage counseling session by reminding couples there is no shingle outside my door. I'm just a fellow pilgrim on this journey alongside you. I have made as many mistakes as you have, and more than some. But I'm committed to fight for my marriage with Barbie, and to share whatever insights I have in hopes they might help your marriage go to the next level. So let's dive in and see the top five needs a man has. Number five, admiration. Husbands want to be admired. That's why after we mow the grass, we come in and ask, "How does the yard look?" We'll even help you out. Isn't that beautiful? When I vacuum the carpets at home, we have two black dogs, so it's easy to tell when you have vacuumed. I'll always get Barbie and say, "Well, Barbie, does that look okay?" "Oh, honey, it's never looked better." Vacuum the stairs. "Oh, they look brand new." You know. Now, I know that sounds like somebody has a pretty shaky self-image. Well, maybe. But all I can say is God knows how He has wired a man. And He created woman to meet that need. In Genesis 2:18, when God created man, He said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." When you find that one that is suitable for you, it's more than magical. It's heavenly. And indeed, if you have found that one suitable for you, you know exactly what I mean. I hear people tell Barbie all the time, "Yep, you're the one made for him. I couldn't live with him." Well, don't worry. The people say the same thing to your wife. "It's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Do you find that odd? I do. Help him with what? Exactly. Fix his meals? No, he ate from the fruit of the trees. Clean his house? No, he lived outdoors in the garden. Do his laundry? No, he was naked. That's why when we come in the house, first thing we start doing is peeling our clothes. Helping with what? Everything. Man does not do well alone. Never has, never will. And one of the things you can do for a man is to give him a few attaboys now and then. Stroke his ego. Give him some admiration. Now that's so simple, but it's so important. Especially if he works a job where all day long it seems he can't please anybody, or he feels stuck in a dead-end job just to make ends meet, trying to be a good provider and protector for his family. Every little bit of admiration from his helper is such a boost. At least he can feel like somebody appreciates his efforts and admires the efforts he puts into even the simplest of things. Ladies, your husband needs to feel, to sense, to know that you are in his corner, that you believe in him. It doesn't mean he's perfect. He's not. It doesn't mean he hasn't made mistakes. He has. What it means is you made a commitment to be his God-sent helper, and you can see in him what others can't see from their vantage point. After I've preached a message, some people don't take the pastor bypass doors. They will wait in line. Most come through with a friendly handshake or a loving hug, and oftentimes with a word of appreciation or a compliment of some kind, and I am genuinely humbled by your affirmations. But there is one person's voice that means more than all the others combined, and that's the voice of my wife. No matter how many or how much affirmation I receive, as soon as we get away from the building, as soon as we get alone in the car, I almost always ask her, "How was the sermon today?" I value her opinion, her admiration more than all the others. It's not that it's not important. It is. It's so encouraging to know that you're on the right track every now and then. But you see, I want to matter to the one who matters to me. And ladies, do you realize your man has some skill set or some ability he longs for you to recognize and admire in him? It's so important, ladies, the Word of God says it can even influence a non-believing husband. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, "Wives, in the same way, submit yourself to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the Word, they may," no guarantee, "but they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives." You meet such a need of your husband when you admire and respect him. It endears you to him. It makes him glad to come home. Back in the 1920s, there was a heavyweight boxer. His name was Jack Dempsey. He became a cultural icon of his time, a very successful boxer. And one day, a reporter was doing an interview with Dempsey's wife, and he asked her this question: "Well, what's it like being the wife of being married to a fighter?" And she said, "I didn't marry a fighter. I married a champion." And that's the way every man wants to feel. He desires for his wife to see him as her champion, her knight. Ladies, many psychologists take it to another level and tell us in many cases your husband will become who you say he is. If you admire him and support him, he will live up to that expectation. If you berate him and belittle him, if you nag and frustrate him, he will live down to your expectations. Admiration. Here's need number 4. Shared household responsibilities. Now, I don't mean sharing housework necessarily. That would be on your list, ladies. But shared household responsibilities work like this. Maybe you keep the checkbook because that's important and your spouse is not gifted with that. Maybe your spouse is in charge of fixing things around the house. Maybe you're in charge of breaking things around the house. Maybe you do the grocery shopping and maybe your spouse changes the oil in the car. When your kids were young and in school, I used to take them to school in the mornings on my way to work, and then Barbie would pick them up in the afternoon because that's the way our schedules fit, and it worked for us. There's no right or wrong to it. Barbie loves to cook. I love to eat. That works for us too. In nearly 47 years of marriage, I have very seldom ever cooked a meal for the family. An occasional French toast breakfast or a box of cereal here or there. And in those same nearly 47 years of marriage, Barbie has never once done our taxes. Now, she keeps track of our expenses and prepares all the accounts and reports for me. But you don't want me to cook Thanksgiving dinner for your family. And you don't want Barbie to do your taxes. And so we're both contributing to the household responsibilities, but what we're really trying to do is serve the other person. We're trying to make it work by using our giftedness to make each other's lives easier and better and come alongside each other and work together. These things, as I said, are not household chores. These are investments in the life of someone who means a great deal to us, each other. Here's number three, an attractive spouse. Now hold on, we're not talking about trophy wives here, or someone who has been surgically altered a dozen times to enhance their appearance, or someone who's had enough facelifts to where their ears meet, or enough Botox to freeze your expression. Those types of women have beauty, we would say, that is only skin deep. Someone once said, the man who marries a woman for her looks deserves every salon bill he gets. Now hold on, again, you can have a drop-dead gorgeous model for a wife. I know, I have one. Will you give me a ride home now? But a Proverbs 31 wife is more attractive than any other kind of woman. Verse 30 of Proverbs 31 says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Now, ladies, I will admit, as I put this sermon together, our top five list does not appear to be as noble as your top five list. I look at your list from last week. You want honesty, you want financial stability, you want family commitment. And I look at our list. We just want a woman that looks pretty in a bathing suit. So I realize we ain't smelling pretty on this one, right? And to add insult to injury, ladies, you didn't even put this one on your top five. You just don't give a rip what we look like. Yeah, you do. It's just not high on your priority list. But it reveals something about the male ego. You see this all the time. You're out with your wife, maybe at the movies, and at work the next day, another guy says to you, hey, I saw you at the movies last night. Was that your wife you were with? We kind of puff our chest out. Well, yeah. And I go, man, she's beautiful. And what do we say? Thanks. Like we had something to do with it. We take credit for her natural beauty. Yeah, thank you. She's been a project. A woman asked me once, should a woman wear makeup? Do I look like Mr. Maybelline? All I could think was to tell her, honey, if the barn needs paint, and paint it. We take credit for their natural beauty and think it's a compliment to us. But it strokes our ego. It somehow makes us look good to be with you. And guys, since it is so important to us, make sure to tell her how beautiful she is a lot. Even in her Victoria's Secret sweatpants. Even with that green gook on her face and cucumbers on her eyes. Because while you don't understand all this, you know what's underneath. Your very beautiful wife The Song of Solomon is a really cool book in the Bible, but not often read. It's all about this intense romantic love that this husband has for his wife and this wife has for her husband. And I'm going to read from chapter 6. It's about to get crazy here. About to get steamy. Verse 4, this is a man describing his wife. "You are beautiful, my darling, as lovely as Jerusalem. Turn your eyes from me. They overwhelm me. Your hair is like a flock of goats descending from Gilead." Now, the metaphors have changed in our day. But get the rest of this. "Your teeth are like a flock of sheep coming up from the washing. Each has its twin. Not one of them is missing." Now, when I read that last verse at my home church in Kentucky, sometimes a guy will shed a tear. Now, let me make sure you understand so you don't take this wrong. What the man is saying is, his wife doesn't have to look like a supermodel. I'm in my late 60s. Barbie's in her late 40s. We don't have to look like we're 20. That doesn't make sense. Haven't we all seen that woman at the beach in her late 60s or 70s thinking she looks good in that bikini? No, honey, you don't. Or that 70-year-old man walking the beach in his Speedo. No, mister, that's not attractive. Don't try to look like somebody you're not and haven't been for decades. When we were in our 20s, I wore... Yeah. Purple crushed velvet jeans or pants with bell bottoms, a white thick belt, white platform shoes, a silk purple shirt. Now, isn't that a picture you'd like to see? Well, you're not going to. It didn't look good then. It sure wouldn't look good now. Men and women, look the best you can for who you are right now. You are most attractive when the inner beauty makes the outer beauty come alive. Well, here's number two. It's a great need and a fun one. Recreational companionship. God wired men in such a way that we want to do things with others. And believe it or not, we'd love to do them with our wives. Remember what we saw back in Genesis 2? God said it's not good for man to be alone. So He made a suitable helper for him. The Hebrew word for suitable means to a match, someone who pairs up with another. Are you ready for this? An opposite. Like peanut butter and jelly, or Oreo cookies and milk, or ice cream and cake, or ice cream and ice cream. God made you ladies not the same as man. Similar, yes, in many ways, but different in oh so many other ways. Sometimes opposite. But then again, what do we say about opposites? Opposites attract. Listen, a dog may be a man's best friend, but I've never seen a dog help a man move. Ladies, God made you to make sure He has companionship. I know sometimes we ask you to do some crazy things, and I know sometimes it's easier to just say no, but sometimes say yes. At least say you'll come along and record it. When he's playing softball with a bunch of other out-of-shape men his age, go to the ball game, cheer him on. And when he gets in the car, help him shut the door. And you'll have to constantly be looking for those opportunities because things change as we get older. Listen, this may be the most profound takeaway from this message. There is a Kenyan proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, take someone with you. Most men... Well, let me say, if you've been blessed with marriage, God has blessed you with someone suitable for you. And I hope you'll spend time together. Well, let's look at number one. You know what it is. No newsflash here. A man's number one need that always shows up is sexual fulfillment. Now, most men like that. I'm the one talking about this. Because most wives say, you've got a one-track mind. It's all you ever think about. My mother-in-law, and many of you have met her, sweetest lady in the world. When Barbie and I were newly married, she once said to me, David, I can read you like a book. And she said, and that's not hard, you only have one chapter. That could be said of most of us, right? More than 25 years ago now, we were in class, Sunday school class in Oklahoma. We were studying marriage. It was that day's lesson was on sex and marriage, and I was so thankful that I was not teaching. I thought, boy, I got off the hook this time. But the teacher started the lesson off with reading this statement. It says here, a man thinks about sex every 4 seconds. And he paused and looked at me and said, what do you think about that, preacher? All I can say was, I don't know, some men are slow thinkers. What am I supposed to say to that? It'll come as no surprise to most of you. Studies have shown this dominates the male thought process. But God wired us this way. Listen to the affirmation given by the wife to her husband in Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 10. I like how the message reads it. My dear lover glows with health, red-blooded, radiant. He's one in a million. There's no one quite like him. Now, I'm going to leave that up there a moment because I know there are a lot of you ladies writing that down. That's how we want to feel. That's how we want you to make us feel, that you really believe we're one in a million. There's nobody like us. When it comes to the bedroom, there are 3 categories that are important to a husband. In the bedroom, your husband desires affirmation, creativity, and frequency. Is the marital act rarely on the menu, or is there regularity to this celebration? You might say, but Pastor David, you don't know my situation. And you're right, I don't. There are many things that affect this area of our lives. There might have been some abuse in your past. There might be some health issues right now. There might be a spouse grieving the loss of a loved one. There are a whole host of things going on in people's lives. But just be sure you're not among the many who look to make excuses before they seek to make an effort. So here's our takeaway. When it comes to your marriage, God is more concerned with your direction than He is with your perfection. We all need help in our relationships because God designed men and women similar but different. There are no perfect husbands and there are no perfect wives. But in which direction are you moving? Father God, I thank You this morning. It's pretty clear in Your Word that You made man in Your image, in Your likeness. You put him in the midst of all Your other creation, brought all the animals to him and let him name them. You walked in the cool of the evening garden with him. But it was not good that he was still alone. And in Your wisdom, You brought forth from his rib a woman, a helper suitable for him. In other words, You made someone just for him, just what he needed. And You're still doing it today. And then Your Word continues that if we will be patient and wait on the Lord, You brought them together and the two became one. It's a process. Meeting each other's needs, his needs and her needs, all to bring glory to You. So much so that Your Word then says, for this cause, for this reason, a man would come to the point where he would leave his mother and father, he would cling unto his wife, and they too would become one. What a beautiful, beautiful marriage. What a beautiful, beautiful new creation in God's will. Father, some in this room have found just that. And we're still working on making it better every day. But Father, some in this room have been through actually just the opposite. We didn't find the helper suitable for us. Found a wrecking ball, him and her, just tearing each other apart. Father, help us to be patient with You and let You put us with that one who is really suitable for us. And Father, for those of us that are, or those in this room that are struggling with so many things, from intimacy to finances to health to anything else in their marriage, help us to just return to that beginning point of mutual submission, submitting to one another, putting each other's needs before our own, and striving to come alongside each other on this journey with You. We give You our praise for Your wisdom and ask forgiveness for the lack of ours. In Jesus' name, amen.